Good morning. Welcome to Quarantine Easter Sunday. To help focus and prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I know many of you are meeting as your family, meeting in small groups of 10 or less, and to help prepare our minds before we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, we're going to sing along with Christ Arose, also known as Lo, in the Grave He Lay. So please sing along and be encouraged by these words. I hope you're encouraged as we sing that lively yet also somber Lord's Supper song that prepares our minds. As we contemplate memorials and why we call this a memorial, many memorials and monuments have been built over the years to honor great men and great women for the great deeds that they have done. And no matter how great their deeds were at the time, they are in the past. Those people are long gone and dead. They've gone on to give an account to God for their own actions and the things that they have done. And as we partake of this memorial every first day of the week, we're not memorializing a great man. We're not memorializing a dead man whose deeds are long ago in the past. But as we look at these monuments, and some things are not simply a name and some dates, we've come across monuments in our travels that will have a name of a man or a woman or some event and a date, and that's all that monument stands for. And so it has caused that curiosity within us to ask the question, well, what is this there for? Who is this person? What was this event? And why should we remember it or honor it? And so it's caused us, with the information we have today at our fingertips, we're able to look that up and say, oh, all right, well, that's why that's there. That's why they want to remember that down through the generations. As we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, we're not memorializing some random event or person that we have to look up and understand who that's for. But no, we serve a risen Savior. We don't serve a dead king. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a living King who sits at the right hand of God. His tomb was found empty that third day. I want us to read from Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1 through 5, and then we're going to go ahead and read a little further on into the next few verses. But it says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest." You know, we live in a time that right now we wish we could be together. We wish we could see each other, we could shake each other's hands, give one another hugs, pats on the back. We wish for that physical contact. We wish we could be together. And right now we're in uncertain times. We're in uncharted waters, many other people have said, where we are trying to navigate through this the best way we can to be obedient to God and to obey the laws of the land. And we're doing that through these avenues of technology. But it is an uncertain time. We don't know when it's going to end. And we want to be together right now. This was not how we had anticipated spending this Sunday, let alone an Easter Sunday, when many families had plans to get together. There was a time long ago where Jesus' disciples, his apostles, his closest friends, that weekend didn't go the way they thought it would go either. And their plans changed and cast great uncertainty upon them. Jesus Christ was crucified. Right there in the center of Calvary with two thieves crucified, one on his right, one to his left. And then we're told the disciples scattered. And we do read John being there at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother. But the others scattered. They went about their lives and they were grieving. They were in deep grief. We can only imagine that how uncertain they were, because they didn't think that was going to happen. They sat down to eat the Passover with their master, with who they recognized to be their Lord and Savior, the Son of God. And that's not how they thought the weekend was going to go. But then he's arrested. He's tried. He's found guilty and sentenced to death. And there he's crucified between two thieves. And they didn't know how things were going to go, but God had a plan. God had a plan. And as we read here, as the women went to go take care of the body after the Sabbath day, after the Passover was gone, they meet two angels who say, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Jesus told his apostles all of that. And there's a place in Mark where it says he spoke to them plainly about the things that must transpire, of how he was going to be handed over to his own countrymen, how they were going to try him, how they were going to crucify him to the cross. And yet, they've forgotten in this time of uncertainty. And they forgot that God was in charge. And here on that third day, on that first day of the week, it says in verse 8, they remembered his words. So the women are tasked with return from the tomb to go to the apostles and to be the bearers of this great news that the Lord was risen. The tomb was empty. We don't partake of a memorial to memorialize some great man that lived long ago and who was long dead, but to remember the one that died to pay our debt of sin, that give us the hope of an eternal life with him in heaven. That's why we partake of this memorial every first day of the week, the hope of the empty tomb. We're going to read from Luke 22, verse 19, as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. as we contemplate the bread that represents his body. And then in a few minutes, we're going to be looking at a different passage to talk about the fruit of the vine. But in Luke 22, verse 19, it says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Every first day of the week, as we gather around and partake of this bread and partake of the fruit of the vine, 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul says to the Corinthian saints, "We proclaim his death until he comes." You see, his death was not final. It was not even a very long time, 3 days. And now we wait for his return. And we proclaim his death until he comes again. Let's remember that sacrifice on our behalf, the just for the unjust, as we contemplate the bread which represents his body. Let's give thanks. And we'll pause for a few minutes afterwards. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our heads, thanking you for the wonderful sacrifice of your Son, knowing there is no other cure for sin, and without the blood of the precious blood of the Lamb, that we would be lost and we would perish in our sins. We're so thankful for his sacrifice, for his willingness to give over his body, to be beaten, to be mocked, humiliated, and finally hung on a cross, knowing that it was nothing for any sin that he had done, but for the sins of those around him, for the sins of the world, that it was the sins for me. We're so thankful to you, Father, for that sacrifice, for his willingness to give his body. In these things in mind, as we partake of this bread, we ask for your blessings on it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we think of somber words of that song that we were led in singing just a few minutes before, "Low in the grave he lay, vainly they sealed the dead, death could not keep his prey." And then the lively chorus that reminds us, "Up from the grave he arose." Jesus is going to remind us of those things as we proclaim his death till he comes, that we are to keep that in the forefront of our minds, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that is where our faith hangs. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that if it wasn't for the resurrection, we would be above all men most to be pitied. So, Jesus talking about that new covenant that would be poured out in his blood and given for the sins of many, for the forgiveness of sins. We're going to read from Matthew 26, 27, 28. "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" Let us give thanks for this fruit of the vine and what it represents, the sinless blood of the Lamb of God. Our Father who is in heaven, we give you all praise, honor, and love that's due you. Being reminded very soberly, reverently of the sacrifice your Son made, thinking of all the images that come to mind as we read of his arrest, his trial, his scourging, the painful march bearing his cross through the streets of Jerusalem to the place of execution, Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there he would be hung upon a cross, a public spectacle for all to see and to mock. And our minds drift back to that scene on Calvary as the blood flows mingled down his body from the thorns on his brow to the scourging wounds from his body. And yet he willingly and lovingly suffered all of that to take upon the sins of the world upon himself, that we would be made free, that we would live. We're so thankful to you for that sacrifice. We're so thankful to you for his blood. And it's in his precious holy name we pray. Amen. I ask you, as we go through this week, to contemplate on that we don't celebrate the death of a man, but we remember his death and we proclaim it till he comes again, meaning we serve a risen King. We serve a risen Savior, for that tomb was empty the third day. Have a great rest of your quarantine Sunday.